effort to combat crime in the street has become a major political issue. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the day the crime problem will be solved. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, man is interested today in the future as never before. Cataclysmic changes in our lives, earth-rending developments, peace-shattering fears cause men and women to seek an answer as never before to know what's coming. Now listen, man's day on this earth is about to run out and God's day is about to begin. The Bible reveals a very heartening drama of what's going to happen to life on our little world. And that plan concerns us because even though this little black sheep of a planet has gone astray, God is going to restore it and make of it a paradise. As part of God's plan, the book of Revelation, chapter 20, speaks of a 1,000-year period, which Bible scholars have come to call a millennium. It simply means, of course, 1,000 years. Now, I suppose there are about as many interpretations of the millennium as there are churches. So again, as we have done daily on this broadcast, we must turn to the Bible and ask God to make plain His wonderful plan. John, speaking under inspiration, wrote these words, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is a devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." Revelation 20:1-3. Now, we have the stage set for our study today after these verses. John sees an angel come down. He sees that angel bind Satan and put him into a bottomless pit, and he is to deceive the nations no more during this 1,000-year period. Now, is the devil chained right now, friends? Well, somebody says if he is, it must be with a rubber chain. It seems that he pretty well has access to the old world, and everywhere I've been, I've seen him at work. Yes, friends, that's right. And then we must be looking to a future time when the devil is going to be chained for 1,000 years. If he's chained now, woe unto us if he's ever let loose. Now, there are two questions that we wish to ask, and I think it'll help us to anchor this 1,000-year period in the stream of time right here at the beginning. When does this period begin and when does it end? Now, if we can set a starting date for it, then we'll have no trouble at all finding out when it's going to end. The key to our answer lies in this same chapter, because we discover in verse 6 that the resurrection of the righteous takes place at the beginning of the millennium. All the righteous who have died are resurrected at the beginning of the millennium. Here are the very words, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20:6. Now, this is the first resurrection. It takes place at the beginning of the 1,000 years. Now, if we can find some other events that take place at the same time as the resurrection of the righteous, then we're going to have an anchor point at the beginning of the 1,000-year period, and that's not hard for us to find. The resurrection of the righteous dead is connected with some other thrilling events in God's plan for this earth, and we'll have no trouble at all identifying the beginning of this period. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, let's recap for just a minute what we've discovered. We're talking about a 1,000-year period. We call it the millennium because milli means 1,000 and anna means a year. We've discovered that at the beginning of the millennium, the righteous dead are resurrected. They're in their graves. Remember, we discovered in an earlier broadcast that there are two general resurrections, the resurrection of the righteous, the resurrection of the wicked. Then the millennium begins with the resurrection of the righteous, which is accompanied also, as we just found out in 1 Thessalonians, by the second coming of Jesus. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection," we're told in Revelation 26. And here we read that when Christ comes, then the resurrection of the righteous takes place. All right. Then who is raised in the second resurrection? Well, that isn't hard for us to discover, friends. Notice in verse 5 of Revelation 20, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Now the wicked are the only ones left. They are the rest of the dead, and they come up at the end of the 1,000 years. In the midst of this chapter, telling of the first resurrection of the righteous, is this parenthetical statement concerning the wicked and the second resurrection. We've discovered the 1,000-year period is bounded on both ends by resurrections. Now try to fix this firmly in your mind, friends. It's so important before we go further in our study today. Now, our next question is, how will the people of this earth be affected by this 1,000 years? Is it going to be a time of peace and prosperity? Well, we've discovered that the righteous are not going to be here. What will happen to the wicked? We find that really there are only two classes in the judgment. We're either declared ourselves holy on God's side and are saved, or we've not declared ourselves holy on God's side and we're lost. There are no spectators, no middle ground, no fence straddlers here at all, friends. There are the righteous dead and the righteous living when Jesus comes. There are the wicked dead and the wicked living when Jesus comes. Those are the only four classes of people that can be dealt with at that time. Now, first of all, let's discover what's going to happen to the righteous who are living on this earth when Jesus comes. Now you'll notice as we compare Scripture with Scripture how beautifully the mosaic fits together. One verse explains another, and one Bible writer adds a facet of detail to the story that completes the picture that another Bible writer paints for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Now let's read that again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So here is an actual description of the second coming of Christ. We discover that the righteous dead are resurrected, the righteous living are translated. Now notice, this all takes place at the same time. All the righteous are taken to heaven to be with Christ. The second coming of Christ, friends, is real, it's literal, it's visible. Jesus said, as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, Matthew 24:27. And then, of course, in Revelation 1:7, it says, every eye shall see him. And then, of course, we just read, the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right, so God then is going to take the living righteous with him. They'll be caught up, changed in a moment of time, he'll translate them. Now, the story of Enoch and the Old Testament is the story that always thrills me. You remember how, as someone has told it, God and Enoch used to walk and talk together. And one day they walked so far, they got nearer God's house than they were to Enoch's. And so God said, why don't you just come on home with me, Enoch? Now, I don't suppose it was quite that simple. And yet, the record tells us that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Yeah, he was translated alive as a promise for those to whom God has promised to do the same thing for a whole generation of people. Now, I believe that this is the very generation that God has chosen to witness the second coming of Christ. What a thrilling day to be alive, friends. Jesus himself told us that he would come back and take us just to be where he is. All right, so the righteous living are resurrected then at this time when Jesus comes. They're caught up to meet him in the clouds and the air. The righteous living are translated and also caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And together they go back through those great open spaces of the sky to that third heaven where the throne of God is located. Because Jesus said, if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So they all go back with Jesus then to that place where the mansions are. Now, friends, what happens to the wicked? We've already discovered what happens to the wicked who are dead when Christ returns. Obviously, they are not resurrected at all when he comes back, because their resurrection, we were told, takes place at the end of the 1,000 years. They have not been accustomed to responding to the voice of Christ during their lifetime. And when he returns and the call of the life-giver goes out, they sleep right through that resurrection. What a sensation is going to go through the hearts and minds of those who are awakened in that second resurrection, and they realize that they slept through the first one, the resurrection of the righteous, and that they have been resurrected now to eternal loss. What's going to happen to the living wicked who are on the earth when Jesus comes, friends? Now, the wicked dead will simply stay there in their graves until the end of the 1,000 years. But now, what about the wicked who are living? Well, we discovered that they're going to be destroyed by the brightness of His coming. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and then you remember John tells us that these wicked people call for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne because of the deeds that they've committed. Because of their unconfessed sin, because they didn't make their peace with God. They're ashamed to meet Him. They're afraid to meet Him. And so they run and try to hide themselves in the caves of the mountains, and they are afraid to face Jesus. Now I wish for a moment today that we could picture the reality of the second coming of Christ. Of those who are alive on this earth, friends, there'll be just those two classes. Those who are ready, those for whom the second coming of Jesus is a joy and anticipation and thrill beyond compare, and those to whom it brings terror beyond description. I tell you, friends, I want to be in that first group, don't you? It's worth everything in the world to be ready in the right group at that time. The righteous are taken to heaven. The wicked, of course, are all dead on this earth because they are slain by the brightness of His coming. You see, when Jesus comes, these people try to hide from Him. They try to get away from His brightness, but they can't do it. The Bible says that they are slain by the brightness of His coming. And that means then that those wicked people, wherever they're located on this earth, their dead bodies are scattered from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. And they are simply cut down as though 1,000 volts of electricity fell upon them and destroyed them in their tracks. Now, friends, it might be good to ask also at this time, what's going to happen to the earth itself? What will it be like at that moment when Jesus returns and that great earthquake has taken place? And the righteous have been taken up to meet Jesus in the air, and the wicked have been cut down and destroyed where they stood. The righteous are gone, the wicked are dead, and that leaves only Satan and his angels here. And there's nothing for Satan to do and his evil cohorts but inhabit the earth for 1,000 years. And that's what the text meant when we read in Revelation 20, verse 2, that Satan was chained for 1,000 years. It says, so that he could deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years are ended. Now, we use the same terminology today. It isn't as though an angel were going to put a shackle around his ankle or around his wrist and say, now, you can't leave this planet. However, he's going to be chained here because he'll have nothing to do for 1,000 years except survey the result of his course of rebellion on this earth. Now, one thing comes to the fore here that's very important. If the righteous are in heaven and the wicked are all dead on the earth, then every man's decision will have been made as to where he's going to spend eternity. The decision has already been handed out. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And that's why Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.